It's Lake Effect on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. We all have examples of when conflict resolution goes wrong. We yell at the customer service representative at the credit card company, or the cashier snaps at you for bringing 12 items into the 10 items or fewer checkout lane. But we know, or well, we should know, that unpleasant conflict can be handled more adeptly. A former Milwaukee radio host is adapting a conflict resolution model for law enforcement to help people in other fields better manage these situations. Ben Marens is with the Milwaukee-based Vistalar Group, which uses a technique called verbal defense and influence. He joins me in the studio now to explain. Thanks so much for being here.
Bonnie, a pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Verbal defense and influence training. Let's start with what it is and what it was initially intended to do and then how it's being used now. So what is the assumptions underneath verbal defense and influence training?
At the heart of this, Bonnie, is the fact that conflict happens. So we can try to avoid it. In the Midwest, we're really good at putting our heads in the sand when things get rough, but it's really not the healthiest way to deal with it. Verbal defense and influence is designed to help people cope with conflict by, A, getting them to realize it will happen, you can deal with it, and you don't have to end up enemies with those you are in conflict with, because most of the people we have a conflict with are friends and family and coworkers. So we just deal with our conflict. Verbal defense and influence began about 30 years ago as a police and law enforcement training tool. So the police officer who had to deal with someone who was going 40 and a 20 didn't have to open the door and, you know, yell at them and tell them, give me your license, give me your registration. But say there's a universal greeting that goes with this. So the police officer was taught to say, good afternoon, miss. My name is Officer Marens, and I noticed you were going about 45 miles an hour, and this is a 20-mile-an-hour zone. So first of all, I want to ask you, is everything okay? Are you rushing to an emergent situation? No, officer, I wasn't paying attention. I'm sorry. Okay, well, what I need to do is look at your license and registration and then talk with you a little bit. I may have to give you a ticket, and I'll try to do this as quickly as possible. Are you ready to give me your license and registration? So in that universal greeting, the officer is taught to identify him or herself, explain why they stopped you, and get you to buy into this by asking you, do you understand it, and then asking, are you ready to proceed and go forward?
This kind of conflict resolution, this kind of approach to resolving conflict, how is this different from other forms that are taught?
You know, not being an expert in all the forms, I don't know. I know at the heart of verbal defense and influence is that we are trying to treat people with dignity by showing them respect. That's what we've taught to the law enforcement. This has been expanded now. The Vistalar Group, who I work for here in Milwaukee now, trains people all over the country, law enforcement, healthcare workers, corporate America, and schools to help fight bullying. In fact, for healthcare, you'll find the research shows nurses are 5 times more likely and medical people to be attacked or hurt on the job because of the conflict that can arise.
And you're talking not necessarily from patients, but say from family members or others?
Anybody that come in conflict. So it could be the patient or could be the family member brought the patient in. And this training has been in place at Children's Hospital here in Milwaukee by the Vistalar Group. Verbal defense and influence in the past 6 months has gotten the attacks on healthcare people, children's, from over 100 a year ago to zero in the first 6 months of the year. So it does work because in part, you're training me and you how to be better with our conflict. And with the idea that if we manage our conflict and someone comes at us in conflict, we are able to help bring them down in part by example and in part by the idea that I'm going to show you dignity, I'm going to treat you with respect, and we're going to feel better about the clash we've had because it's about the clash and not about each other.
What happens in a situation? How are you taught to deal with something where somebody doesn't respond to you in that way? If somebody, say, is, you know, doped up, or somebody is in a situation where they simply can't respond rationally, how does this training help you when you're in that situation?
At the heart of verbal defense and influence, in addition to the universal greeting I spoke about, they also teach us that there is something called showtime. It is the face we present. You right now are looking at me with the face of a talk show host. And if you've had a bad day, it would not be proper in your role right now to put any of that on the table in front of me. So we have a face we bring to the situation. And then we have some tools we call the 5 maxims to try to get you to treat people with dignity by showing them respect by following these 5 rules. The first one is to listen to others from head to toe. So it's almost beyond active listening. So you're engaged with me right now. You're looking at me. You're thinking about what I'm saying. You are letting me know by the way you responded to me that you're hearing me. The second maxim is to ask people for your help or cooperation. Don't tell them. to do something. And by asking, again, it's dignified. You're not ordering them. You can get them to buy in. The third maxim is to explain why. When you show somebody the context of what's being done, it will often diffuse conflict because people will understand what's going on. Sometimes it's just fear of lack of understanding that causes us to not want to do something, or fear or question why we're being asked to do it. The fourth maxim is to offer options. So when you present somebody with options, giving them choice gives them dignity too. And then the fifth maxim, and I think it's my favorite because it recognizes we're all human, and that's to give a second chance because we don't always succeed the first time. So that fifth maxim is to understand being human, we fail.
What happens, though, if you're in a situation that is life-threatening, say, and you don't have a lot of time on your side? How do these maxims work in sort of that contracted time frame?
I'm glad you asked. Conflict happens. So when we teach, our main trainer, a guy named Gary Klugowitz, who was a Milwaukee County sheriff, teaches people that we have a concept in schools with fire drills and not fire talks. And the reason he says that is we practice how we get out of the house or the school if there's a fire. How are you going to handle conflict when it happens? You practice this. So you actually, in our classes on tape, will be asked to deal with someone like that. You've got to practice those five maxims. And when the heat of battle's going, how are you going to react? It's a muscle memory, a mental muscle memory, if you will, that I've practiced this. I know when somebody gets mad, the first thing I do is, they call it stacking your blocks. I sit up straight. I take a deep breath. And then the time I'm taking that deep breath, I'm thinking, what's in front of me and what's the first thing I'm going to do to react to it? But again, we don't teach conflict management with kids, with bullying, or with people in the workplace. We just kind of find ways to strut off and be frustrated. And then the conflict just builds and it comes out some other way.
How long does a typical training period last? If an organization brings you in to do this, what kind of time are people are looking at?
Well, I can briefly go through it with you in a 10-minute interview. We do half-day seminars, full-day seminars, and then there's a week-long course. And the company has been in Fort Hood down in Texas this last week doing a full week of training, and they have signed on for all 50,000 MPs and their families to take part in this. So the longest training is about 4 days, and we also have an online course, so you can take that at your own pace. But the idea is that it's not a semester. And it's not beyond the reach of anybody. It's just something that we need to recognize. A, conflict happens. B, I want to handle it better or sort of fall victim to it. Instead of struggling through the conflict for a couple of days before you finally resolve it and get where you're going with your project at work, with whether it be at the city or WWM, the idea that you can resolve that conflict with respect and dignity in a short period of time, so it's more efficient and overall a healthier way to deal with each other. Toughest place for me to do it? At home with my wife and daughter, because the emotional energies are higher. But these techniques have worked there too.
I was going to ask about that because, again, when you're really invested in something, we as human beings tend to stick to our position, whatever that position might be, whether it's a good position or a bad position. And so I think a lot of this kind of training, you have to be willing to say to yourself, you know what, I might be wrong here. How do you get people to do that? Because we tend not to want to do that. And that's all of us.
I practice something that I call the theory of four faces. It's about empathy and trying to figure out where the other person is coming from. And in my mind, we come from four faces. Our first face is the child's face. So when I look at you, or if I'm just hearing you, I try to picture your six-year-old. Because a six-year-old is pretty much who we are throughout our lives. It changes some, but I'm trying to become empathetic to the other person. So first and foremost, what's your six-year-old look like? Then what's your 60, 70, or 80-year-old look like? I call it the face of wisdom, because none of us make it through this world in 5, 6, or 7 decades without gaining a lot of wisdom. The third face is probably my favorite face. It's the face of joy, or the happiest face, because when you're on the air doing what you're doing as a host and doing it well, you've gotten married or you've scored the winning run, whatever it is, it brings the joy to your face. That's the one I want to see, because we all want people to feel that way. And when you talk about people you know who never show that face, God, they're so grumpy, they're so difficult. That's the face I work the hardest at to see in the people who don't show it. And the fourth face I see is the face of character, of intestinal fortitude, the face when you're so depressed you can't get out of bed, you've just buried a loved one, and you wonder, how are you going to get up and do it all over again? How are you going to move forward? And yet most of us have gone there, and most of us have gotten up. Seeing those four faces in someone allows you to empathize and try to understand where they're coming from.
How did you get interested in this? You made quite a switch in career.
You know, it was a process. I was on the air practicing this. I was hearing people. I was having to be empathetic, enjoying it, but that was my job. Hear what they had to say and follow up. When we're dealing with others in conflict, we need to hear what they have to say and follow up. So it's really a natural progression. It's just my studio is a different place, if you will. And in the last 10 years of the 20 I spent at Wisconsin Public Radio, I spent time away from the studio doing a lot of public speaking and training. So it was sort of a natural progression to say, this is what I've learned as a journalist in 30 years. And I can teach you the same principles of listening and empathy that are then going to help you resolve your conflict.
Ben Marins, it's great to have you back on the air.
Nice to be here, Bonnie. Appreciate it.
Ben Marins is with the Milwaukee-based Vistalar Group, which teaches conflict resolution through verbal defense and influence. He formerly hosted a program across town at Wisconsin Public Radio. There are links to more about Vistalar Group and verbal defense and influence at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. We'll take a short break now, and then a new book chronicles the loss of losing a son and the ways his family found to celebrate and honor him. Stay tuned. You're listening to Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio.